Every organization on earth is setting out to convert demand to value. It does that with two things, capability and capacity. Asset management is how we combine our capability and capacity to do just that. It does this through the lens of cost, risk, and performance. Greater still, you and your organization are already doing asset management. This short course will actually provide you confidence to actually have that discussion internally, drive change, continual improvement, but also sustained value delivery for your stakeholders internally and externally. Okay, let's take a look at the difference between physical, non-physical, or tangible and intangible assets. Now, the words tangible versus intangible or physical versus non-physical, don't get caught up about them. Some of them have an origin, of course, from, say, financial and accounting standards. Some of them have just really a common sense approach to naming something physical or non-physical. What's really important is to accept the following. A physical asset, we can see it, we can touch it. It has fit, form, and function, if you like. That could be a house, it could be a car, a motorcycle, a park bench, a bridge, a tunnel, a hospital, building, library, books, etc. So they're our physical assets. Intangible assets, or non-physical assets, on the other hand, is think of you and I, human capital, human assets. An organization is a system made up of people. So when you think about our collective knowledge in our organization, our skills, qualifications, insights, how we do our work, intangible asset. Information, data, information can be seen as an intangible asset as well. Maybe the hardware that the information and data sits on is actually the physical asset, but the intangible or non-physical asset is the information. And in particular, information is there to support decision-making. Another type of intangible asset that we walk past every day and we don't give it a lot of attention, and that is really organizational culture, organizational reputation. You know, when I walk into an organization, do people seem to be well engaged, communicating together? There's a social, if you like, element to that. That promotes value. Goodwill from clients. They are going to keep coming back to this organization. They have faith that the organization is actually delivering value on their behalf, not just taking money. That's goodwill. Social impact. You know, when we're considering maybe a government department or a not-for-profit out there trying to influence with assets further ability to connect communities, if you like, or vulnerability or vulnerable communities, I should say, to maybe a city centre. That's very much an intangible asset. The most important thing and the message here between physical, non-physical, or tangible and intangible is the following. You can have all the physical assets in your organization or as to your organization's accountability sitting there, but they will not add any value without the intangible assets combining with them to make them work. For instance, business processes. Information, decision making, you, me, all that human element. And likewise can be said as well, if I've got all the intangible assets, etc., they're not going to come to life and deliver value to stakeholders without the physical. Data cannot sit anywhere in thin air. It needs to sit on hardware, so you need the two together. A bus only adds value to stakeholders when they sit on that bus and a timetable takes them from point A to point B with a degree of confidence. However, maybe a bus, for instance, might have sentimental value if it's a collector's item, say it's a 50, 60-year-old bus. That would be different. The value from that bus is actually more to do with history, heritage. But let's face it, if I'm a commuter, the value is not the bus sitting in the paddock. The bus is actually me sitting on it with reliability to get from point A to point B. So again, in summary, physical to non-physical, assets need to work together. And another insight here is when we put all our assets together, be it physical or non-physical, and we create the ability to deliver value, we also refer to that as capability. Okay, We looked previously at actual value versus potential value. Okay, it's very much a time horizon view of the world. But let's look at another dimension of assets. We have value of an asset and value from an asset. This perpetually often is the tension between finance and operations, if you like. Finance are very interested, of course, what is the value of an asset as it appears on the balance sheet, okay, in the financial register. But of course, an asset manager on behalf of stakeholders is very much interested in the value that one can get from an asset. Now we start to get into useful life, design life, financial life, and all those other things. But to really make it simple, let's look at a car in the first instance. The value of a car is, of course, its market value. It might be brand new, it might be old, it might have a depreciated value. But again, we're prepared to pay something for it in today's currency, if you like. But the value we get from a car can be looked in multiple ways. Transportation. The value of transportation from a car, if I own it, might be I have freedom to do and drive wherever I like, however I like, with whomever I like. But value from a car, if I'm in a ride-sharing scenario, like someone like Uber, I can still get value from a vehicle, but I don't have to own it. I may be the type of person that likes to demonstrate or articulate their social standing by having a very flashy or expensive car. That in itself is value from a car. But I might have safety as a key driver here, or even reliability. Am I prepared to invest in a car that might be very old? You know, maybe only $1,000 worth just to get myself to and from the railway station, to get to and from work. Or maybe reliability is very important to me because I'm buying it more for maybe my parents or from a growing family's point of view. So again, example, value of a car, value from a car. If I now consider a house or a structure or accommodation, if you like, the value we get from a house or the value of a house is of course what we're prepared to pay for it. Now, the value of a house, of course, as it stands out in the marketplace, might be $1 million for the house. Or it also might be, if you like, how I obtain that accommodation might be through rental. And that rental might be, say, $300 a week. I can still achieve and obtain the value of accommodation and shelter from that house, whether I buy it or rent it. The choice is mine. The choice is yours. The value from a house, of course, is, of course, comfort, security. Maybe the value of a house is to actually enable me to raise a family. Or maybe the value from a house is actually I'm buying it as an investment, so therefore I'm seeking rental return. Again, from a physical perspective, the house has value of and, of course, value from. And again, in asset management, if we consider this in our decision making, it ties back nicely to actual value and potential value. So there's two physical examples. Let's move on to two intangible values, and probably two that are very close to at heart for most of us on this planet. First one is, say, education and experience. So from an educational point of view, I may have a qualification, university degree, trade degree, etc. With that, the value of the education and experience is, of course, I have a degree of competency, and I can demonstrate that in the marketplace in today's standards to go and secure employment of some type. Get money to put food on the table, if you like. So there's the value of education. And of course, as I say to my children, education also enables you to have more choices in life. But if I look at value from education, I can also look at maybe market standing. Maybe I've gone through in my career and done an undergraduate, graduate, postgraduate, and I've got a PhD or doctorate. That may, in my particular industry, give me market standing. So that's value from education and experience. From an organization, when I'm looking down across my workforce, the people that work for me, be they contractors, full-timers, whomever, that provides me capability to deliver services or products. Again, capability. But also, too, education and experience, we get the value from, we get that, is also more of a strategic view of the world. As we get later on in our careers, and again, the culmination of both education and experience comes together, it enables us to think differently, and that could also, the value from that could also maybe mentoring younger people in our workforce or any society that we're in, be it not-for-profit, community, or of course for profit. The next example I'm going to give you is, say, intellectual property, IP, organizational knowledge. The value of IP is, of course, we could maybe have some cost effectiveness because everyone is doing things in a similar or the same way. That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? The efficiencies we get from that. Intellectual property also would enable us to have a degree or a standard of training. We understand what we do and why we do and how we do it. You know, an organization that can answer those three questions, training is almost a byproduct of everyday practices. But most importantly is, of course, with intellectual property, we have the value of that is, of course, product and service delivery inconsistently, all the assurance that goes behind that. Value we get from intellectual property, of course, we get into more thinking outside of the marketplace into sustainability. So sustainability might be, how do we protect ourselves in the future? Well, intellectual property or organizational property may be a way to do that. Resilience as well. What have we learned from the past to actually apply that intellectual property moving forward? What may the world throw at us, so to speak? The value from, of course, intellectual property enables us to move into more of being market leaders. You know, we've demonstrated this, and we can all look at those organizations that we can all think of in this moment that have done a good job doing that. Year upon year, they reinvent themselves. Some of those smartphone tech companies that we know of also do this very well. Another element we get value from intellectual property is it also attracts employees and workers to an organization. If I'm out there in the marketplace looking to join an organization, I'm more inclined to join an organization that understands what it does, documents what it does, and intellectual property is certainly nurtured. And then, of course, importantly, not just attracting employees, it's also retaining employees, whether that's through research and development or just the culture that says we will continually learn and continually improve. So the first two examples there, physical being car or versus house, but again, in one lens, the car is either the value of having it sitting in the garage, or maybe it's a value from getting moving people from point A to point B. A house, of course, is value as it sits on someone's balance sheet or your balance sheet or maybe the banks if they've loaned you money for that. But of course, value from is, of course, accommodation in its simplest terms. And then, of course, we looked at education and intellectual property. Education might be more to the individual and experience, of course. And of course, intellectual property or organizational knowledge is really the culmination and the extraction of all that experience and education from individuals to my organization. So whilst we earlier on looked at actual versus potential, I also want you to consider value of an asset and value from an asset. Okay, a key thing to consider is two terms. Asset management, of course, at the heart and soul of this conversation, but there's also asset management versus what we refer to as the management of assets. Traditionally, that's where people start their asset management journey, considering the asset itself. But asset management is very much a top-down, coordinated activity of an organization, where the management of assets is more discrete, bottom-up, and very much tied to a particular class of asset. An example would be, from a management of assets perspective, we'd be very interested in, say, the function of an asset, the fit, form, and function of an asset. But from an asset management lens, we're more interested in the value that it provides. When we look at or consider asset management in the project sense, the management of assets would be the delivery of a piece of infrastructure, if you like, a project, something with scope. But from a asset management perspective, we're looking more interested, or we are more interested in the program perspective, the outcome that that project actually delivers for our stakeholders. Again, some of the other considerations of the management of assets versus asset management provides more of an inward looking focus for an organization, which is okay, especially if you are a person responsible or accountable for the asset itself. But asset management allows us to look more outward and consider, again, actual and potential value, more to the marketplace, the customer, and community. So when we hear those terminologies, asset management versus the management of asset, it's fine and it's okay. What I have found when I'm speaking with customers is that if you can actually explain the difference between the two, the conversation just takes its own flight and everyone comes together and understands what we're talking about. So something to think about: asset management versus the management of assets. Every organization on earth, whether you're in the private sector, not-for-profit, government, non-government, whatever, every organization sets out to convert demand through to value. That could be a product, service, capability, whatever. The reason I wanted to put it as simply and as blunt as that is that asset management therefore becomes your tool to bring together your physical and non-physical assets together to enable that to occur. Asset management actually helps you highlight what assets you need, what maybe need to be developed further. But next to your capability, of course, is the capacity of an organization to do that. Asset management will help you make a decision based on today's view of the world versus tomorrow's view of the world, where I might insource or outsource work, those assets, service delivery, whatever it might be. So again, the conversion of demand through to value, every organization sets out to do it. We're already doing it now. And that brings me to the next point, and it's probably the most important part of this conversation. You and your organization are already doing asset management. But until sometimes this conversation and explanation of asset management is understood, you're not getting the full value from some of those decisions being made in your organization. As we become larger, as we become more complex, as the world becomes smaller, asset management is a philosophy around decision making for an organization. What levers can I pull based on cost, risk, and performance, today versus tomorrow, value of, value from an asset, and bring that together? Demand through to value with things. That's all asset management is. It's all it's setting out to do. Another definition that comes from the International Standard for Asset Management refers to the effective control and governance of assets. So again, how do we make decisions in light of actual versus potential value, value of, value from? Second part of the statement is, of course, to achieve a desired balance or the desired balance of cost, risk, and performance. So in my organization, if I'm making a decision on assets to support value, I'm considering from a leadership perspective in particular, what is the true cost? What is the cost of outlay initially? And we refer to that often as the capital investment. What, therefore, is the continued cost of supporting an asset or a solution into the future? We often refer to that as OPEX or operational expenditure. But through an asset management lens, cost includes the cost of morale, the cost of assurance, the cost of our management systems, the cost of all the assets that go with a decision. The next trio to this cost, risk, and performance is, of course, risk. And when we are making risk, or we're thinking about risk today, risk tomorrow. But of course, risk comes as good as our crystal ball is, as good as our organizational knowledge is, as good as our understanding of the future and what it may hold. But risk might be strategic risk in terms of looking outward beyond the organization into the marketplace. It might be very operationally associated, looking at day-to-day operations, safety, people, process, technology. Or it might be more tactical in nature, program delivery, project delivery. The third element, of course, to cost, risk, and performance is, of course, performance. If I'm looking at this or treating this through the management of asset lens, it'll always come back to the function of an asset. But when I look at that performance through an asset management lens, I'm thinking of things like customer satisfaction, safety, security, future value, resilience, sustainability. So again, from the international standard, the effective control and governance of assets to achieve the desired balance of cost, risk, and performance. It's an easy statement, but what I tend to find is cost is very much understood, risk is somewhat understood, but performance seems to come down to very much the function of the asset, not the quality of service delivery, because both are important, the performance of a physical asset and, of course, the performance of service delivery in which that physical or non-physical asset supports. So remember that cost, risk and performance, because whether you are purchasing or considering buying a vehicle or a home to live in, you're always considering, what can I afford today? What's the risk I'm prepared to take today and tomorrow? Of course, my crystal ball into the future. And performance might be, especially for a car. Today I'm a single person. Tomorrow I might have a partner. Beyond that, I might have a family with pets. How do I actually consider that my desired balance of cost, risk and performance is adequate today in consideration through to tomorrow? The big secret here with asset management is, and if an individual is making this decision by themselves for an organization, not likely to get the most optimal answer. But if you connect other people in to contribute to this, i.e. the coordinated activity of an organization, chances are you're going to get more of a sustainable decision against cost, risk, and performance. The coordinated activity of an organization to realize value from assets. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Well, it should be. That's the international standards definition for asset management. And that comes from a standard called ISO 55000 in the year 2014. We'll touch more on that later on in the conversation. What's really important, however, is how we break down that statement. First and foremost, the coordinated activity. So whether I'm a small organization, that really talks or speaks to how I hand off my demand throughout my organization, and I take that through to the delivery of something. It could be a deliverable, an outcome, an objective, whatever it might be. And when we think of the coordinated activity, that might have a different context to it if I'm a multinational or a global organization existing in many countries. We still can ask that question. The second element of the statement looks at the organization to realize value from assets. An organization is accountable for service delivery or product delivery, so therefore, ultimately, it's accountable for the assets that support that. Again, I might be a government organization accountable for a bus timetable. But if part of my buses or my bus fleet comes from the private sector, I'm also accountable for them. So what, therefore, is the coordinated activity between those two organizations? So it's something really important to think about as we go through asset management. Okay, the coordinated activity of an organization. How might we improve it? How might we identify it? And importantly, how might we measure it? Our starting point for this module isn't actually what an asset is. We're going to start with why an asset is. An asset exists to support the delivery of value. That might be done through service delivery. It might be done through capability delivery. It might be done through a value stream. It's really important that is our starting point, because asset management is all about how we deliver value, utilizing assets, but it always comes back to service delivery of some type. If you can accept that now, this whole conversation and your ability to apply asset management throughout your organization already becomes easier. Moving on to what is an asset, which is, of course, equally important, I'm going to start with the International Standards Definition from 2014. They refer to an asset as an item, thing, or entity that has potential or actual value to an organization. Now, I'm going to break that down into three sections, that statement. The first statement, of course, or the first section of that statement is an item, thing, or entity. Now, if you break that down, what it's really saying is that can be anything. It could be something we could touch, something we don't touch, tangible, intangible, physical, non-physical, however you want to describe it. Okay, so it can be anything, and that's really important to understand, especially when we move through shortly into the intangible assets of our organization. The next piece to break this down from the international standard talks about potential or actual value. Now, if you think about potential versus actual, think about it like this. Potential is something in the future, an enablement, if you like, versus actual, something that's of value right now. An easy example might be, we are building a bridge today to get traffic from one side of land to another side of land, and today it has a requirement of, say, one lane on each side. But if I look at potential value and I think more broadly, we might consider the potential value is to add another lane to either side of the bridge, therefore accommodating future population growth. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? So remember, potential is something in the future, actual is today, and what we're really doing with asset management is really linking the two together to really understand what's best. The third part of the International Standards Statement here, or definition, talks about value to an organization. Another key thing to understand and accept is that an organization's is accountable for delivering value to stakeholders. So therefore, by default, any asset that supports that service delivery of value to stakeholders falls within that organization's accountability. So if I'm in finance, just because that asset might not sit on my balance sheet, if it is supporting service delivery for my organization, we are accountable for it. And if you can accept that now, that makes this whole understanding around assurance, which we'll touch on later on in this conversation, so much simpler to digest and understand. So again, item, thing or entity, anything, okay? Potential or actual value, today versus tomorrow, and of course to an organization. And again, remember that word accountability and assurance because they go hand in hand. Asset management is one of those disciplines that is generic, agnostic, and can be applied anywhere in the world. If you are maybe starting your career, maybe in the middle of your career, or maybe looking to repurpose what you do, asset management is one of those disciplines that you can leverage off your existing skills and apply them in more ways. If you're a consultant, that means opening up more possibilities for revenue. If you are, again, in a technical discipline, opens up the doors to move across into management and leadership roles. But also too, even if you are in a top management or leadership role, understanding asset management and how your people in your organization can connect together more effectively has got to be good for business.